Welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide, and today we're diving deep into one of the most powerful and emotionally raw poems in the AQA Power and Conflict Anthology, Remains, by Simon Armitage. Whether you're sitting your exams in a few weeks or just starting your revision, this episode is going to give you everything you need. A clear understanding of the poem, the key language techniques, the themes examiners want to see you, analyze, and the exam tips that will push you from a grade 5 up to a 7, 8, or 9. So let's get started. First, a bit of context. Simon Armitage is one of Britain's most celebrated contemporary poets, and he became Poet Laureate in 2019. Remains is based on the real experiences of a soldier who served in the Iraq War. Armitage adapted the poem from the testimony of a veteran called Eddie Cochran, who shared his story on a BBC documentary. This is really important for your exam. The poem isn't purely autobiographical. Armitage is giving voice to someone else's experience, which is why we talk about the speaker rather than the poet when we analyze it. The Iraq War began in 2003, and British and American troops were involved in intense urban combat. Many soldiers returned home suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, a psychological condition where traumatic memories intrude on everyday life, causing flashbacks, nightmares, and an inability to function normally. This is absolutely central to understanding Remains. Now let's look at what actually happens in the poem. The speaker, a soldier, describes an incident where a man, possibly a looter, runs out of a bank during a conflict situation. The speaker and his fellow soldiers open fire. The man is shot and killed. The soldier's comrades move on, but the speaker cannot. The memory of the dying man haunts him, appearing in his dreams, in his waking thoughts, in the very landscape of his mind. That's the poem in a nutshell. But of course, in the exam, you're not being asked to retell the plot. You're being asked to analyze how Armitage presents the psychological effects of conflict, and that's where the real marks are. Let's talk about the key themes. The first and most important theme is guilt and moral responsibility. The speaker is tormented by what he has done. The most powerful quotation for this is, "His bloody life in my bloody hands." Now, this is a brilliant example of what we call polysemy, a word carrying multiple meanings simultaneously. Bloody works on two levels. On one level, it's a colloquial swear word, the kind of language a soldier might actually use, which makes the poem feel authentic and raw. But on another level, it's literal, the man's blood is on the speaker's hands. The repetition of bloody hammers home the speaker's guilt. He cannot escape it. The word is literally repeated, just as the memory is repeated in his mind. When you write about this in the exam, make sure you explore both meanings. Examiners will award credit for candidates who demonstrate this kind of layered analysis. The second major theme is trauma and PTSD. Armitage captures the psychological reality of post-traumatic stress with extraordinary precision. Look at the line, "He's here in my head when I close my eyes." The use of present tense is crucial here. He's here, not he was here. The memory isn't in the past. It's happening now in real time, every time the speaker tries to rest. This is exactly how PTSD works. The brain cannot file the traumatic memory away. It keeps replaying it. Armitage's use of present tense is therefore not just a grammatical choice. It's a psychological one. The third theme is memory and its inescapability. The poem is structured around the idea that the past cannot be left behind. The speaker tries to move on, he goes home, he drinks, he takes drugs, but nothing works. The memory, dug in behind enemy lines. This is a fascinating metaphor. Armitage uses military language, dug in, enemy lines, but applies it to the speaker's own mind. The enemy is no longer outside, the enemy is inside his head. The battlefield has followed him home. This is a deeply ironic and tragic image, and examiners will reward candidates who pick up on this extended metaphor. The fourth theme is the dehumanizing effects of conflict. Notice how the soldier in the poem is never given a name. He's referred to as one of my men and the target. This dehumanization is part of military training. Soldiers are taught to see the enemy as a target, not a person. But the poem shows what happens when that dehumanization breaks down. The speaker cannot maintain the psychological distance. The dead man becomes human to him, and that's when the guilt sets in. Now let's talk about structure and form, because this is where so many students miss marks. Remains is written in irregular stanzas. The line lengths vary, the rhythm is disrupted, and there's no consistent rhyme scheme. This is deliberate. The irregular structure mirrors the speaker's fragmented mental state. His thoughts are not ordered or controlled. They break apart, just like the lines of the poem. The poem also uses a technique called enjambment, where sentences run over from one line to the next without a pause. This creates a sense of breathlessness, of thoughts tumbling over each other uncontrollably, again mimicking the experience of PTSD. But the most important structural feature is the volta. The volta is the turning point of the poem, the moment where the tone, focus, or argument shifts. In Remains, the volta comes at the line, "End of story, except not really." This is a brilliant piece of writing. End of story is a colloquial phrase, casual, dismissive, the kind of thing you'd say to close a conversation, but Armitage immediately undercuts it with, "Except not really." The story isn't over, it never will be. This is the moment the poem pivots from the incident itself to its psychological aftermath. Everything before the volta is about what happened. Everything after is about what it's doing to the speaker's mind. Make sure you discuss the volta in your exam response. It's a key structural feature, and examiners specifically look for candidates who can analyze its significance. Now let's move on to exam tips and the common mistakes that cost students marks. Tip number one, always distinguish between the speaker and the poet. Armitage is not a soldier. He did not serve in Iraq. He is giving voice to a veteran's experience. If you write Armitage feels guilty in your exam, that's technically inaccurate and could cost you marks. Write instead, "The speaker feels guilty," or "Armitage presents a speaker who is overwhelmed by guilt." This shows the examiner that you understand the poem as a constructed piece of writing, not a diary entry. Tip number two, don't just identify techniques, analyze their effect. This is the difference between a grade 4 and a grade 7. A grade 4 response might say, "Armitage uses a metaphor when he writes, 'dug in behind enemy lines.' That's feature spotting." A grade 7 response says, "Armitage's military metaphor, 'dug in behind enemy lines,' is deeply ironic. The language of warfare, usually associated with external enemies, is here applied to the speaker's own mind, suggesting that the real battle is psychological and inescapable." Do you see the difference? The second response analyzes the effect and links it to the poem's wider concerns. Tip number three, integrate your context. Don't write a separate paragraph about the Iraq War and then go back to the poem. Weave the context into your analysis. For example, writing in the context of the Iraq War, Armitage presents a soldier whose experience of PTSD reflects the reality faced by thousands of veterans, the inability to leave the battlefield behind, even when physically safe at home. Tip number four, use the word Armitage deliberately. Every time you write about a technique, ask yourself, why did Armitage make this choice? What effect was he trying to create? What does it reveal about his attitude to war, to soldiers, to guilt? This kind of authorial intention analysis is what pushes responses into the highest levels. Tip number five, don't forget the colloquial language. The poem is full of casual, conversational phrases. "Legsit," "end of story," "one of my men." This colloquial register is a deliberate choice. It makes the speaker sound like a real soldier, not a literary character. It also creates a jarring contrast with the horror of what he's describing. The casual language makes the violence feel more shocking, not less. Now, the most common mistakes I see in exam responses, mistake one, confusing bloody as only a swear word. As we discussed, it's both. Always explore the dual meaning. Mistake two, ignoring the volta. Students who don't discuss end of story except not really are missing one of the most analytically rich moments in the poem. Mistake three, writing about war in general terms without embedding quotations. Vague statements like, "The poem shows that war is bad," earn no marks. Every point you make must be supported by a specific quotation from the poem. Mistake four, treating the poem as purely autobiographical. Remember, Armitage is the poet, the speaker is a fictional soldier based on a real veteran. Mistake five, not comparing. If you're answering a comparison question, make sure you're discussing both poems throughout, not writing about one and then the other. use comparative connectives. Similarly, in contrast, whereas, both poets. Now let's do a quick fire recall quiz. I'll ask you a question, pause the podcast, think of your answer, then press play to hear the response. Question one, what is the volta in remains and where does it occur? Pause now. The volta is end of story, except not really. It marks the shift from the incident to the psychological aftermath, from action to haunting. Question two, what are the two meanings of bloody in his bloody life in my bloody hands? Pause now. Bloody is both a colloquial swear word, giving the poem an authentic soldier's voice, and a literal reference to blood, the dead man's blood on the speaker's hands. This polysemy captures both the casual brutality of conflict and the speaker's deep guilt. Question three, how does the irregular structure of the poem reflect its themes? Pause now. The irregular stanzas, varied line lengths, and disrupted rhythm mirror the speaker's fragmented mental state, the inability to think in an ordered, controlled way. The structure enacts the psychological damage of PTSD. Question four, name one other poem from the Power and Conflict anthology that you could compare to Remains and explain one similarity. Pause now. War Photographer by Carol Ann Duffy is a strong comparison. Both poems explore the psychological aftermath of witnessing violence, and both present figures who cannot escape traumatic memories. Alternatively, Bayonet Charge by Ted Hughes explores the dehumanizing effects of conflict in the moment of battle, contrasting with Remains, which focuses on the aftermath. And finally, let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything you need to remember. Remains by Simon Armitage is a poem about guilt, trauma, and the inescapable psychological damage of conflict. It's based on the real testimony of an Iraq War veteran and explores PTSD with unflinching honesty. The key themes are guilt and moral responsibility, trauma and PTSD, the inescapability of memory, and the dehumanizing effects of conflict. The key techniques are polysemy in bloody present tense to convey haunting, military metaphor applied to the mind, colloquial register for authenticity, irregular structure to mirror fragmented thought, enjambment for breathlessness, and the volta at end of story, except not really. In the exam, always distinguish speaker from poet, analyze effects, not just techniques, integrate context, and if it's a comparison question, discuss both poems throughout. You've got this. Good luck in your exams. And remember, the marks are there for the taking if you show the examiner that you can read closely, think critically, and write with precision. Take care and happy revising.